Okay, Christmas is coming, and well, we know it's Christmas, but I'm not sure that dogs already know that it's Christmas or even actually care too much, so long as they get their food. And, well, somebody who's going to explain a lot of this stuff is Wendy Claxton. Welcome back, Wendy.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And you, are you all set for the big day with your tribe of animals?
I'm afraid to say I'm a bar humbugger.
Okay, bar humbug to you then. But I mean, that's the point I was trying to make with that. I mean, I know we're gonna talk about puppies first in a second, but that's the problem with Christmas is we know it's Christmas, but the dogs don't, do they?
And well, they don't care. Maybe they do. Maybe there's an inner thing and they do know. Maybe we've got it all wrong. But in theory, they don't care and they don't know. What they do know is energy in the household changes. So we get a bit more frenetic, a bit more ramped up. The kids, obviously, at some point will break up from school and they'll come round. There'll be lots of buying of things. So if you've got a dog that barks at Amazon delivery, they might be hoarse by the time Christmas is here, because it's those, you know, things start changing, everything gets a bit more ramped up, so they know something's happening. And I believe looking back at what my parents were like, tempers sort of get a bit frayed, the old fuse gets a bit shorter, because it's the expectations of everything. Let's say, for instance, you've got your lovely puppy and we're making a bit of headway with our puppy.
Yeah.
And it's growing fast. But what's happening now, we're putting it out in the garden on its own. We were taking it out on the lead for wee's and poos. Now we're letting it go out on its own.
We're talking recall here, aren't we?
We are, absolutely. Now, recall comes in many guises. It's not just about you're out on a walk and you want your dog to come to you, but you also want your dog to come in from the garden. And this is a thing that people struggle with a lot, because they say, oh, the dog won't come in from the garden. And that's purely because if you think about it, the dog probably spends more time out in that garden than you do, because naturally it's going out there for wee's and poos. And if you stop taking it out on the lead but letting it go out on its own, there's other things interesting. We've had the leaves dropping, we've had acorns dropping, all sorts of things that excite new puppies. You've got different smells, different things. So they're spending a bit of time out there. Obviously, if the weather's not great, they don't necessarily want to be out there. But will they come in, the little tinkers, when you want them to come in?
No.
And then this is the problem. So you've got people arriving in about 3 minutes' time. The dog's in the garden. It won't come in. Everybody's going mad. People are screaming, get the dog in. Somebody's at the gate. And you can see how it all sort of kicks off. Everything needs to be calm if you can, especially in the dog area at Christmas. So dog's not coming in. So first of all, teach the dog the words in and out. Put it on the lead. Stand across the threshold of any doorway. Using the lead, guide the dog out, saying out, and pull the dog back in, saying in, and praise it as you do. That eventually the dog will understand in and out. You can then also use a hand gesture, a flicky of the hand pushing the dog out, and a sort of a beckoning of the hand to bring the dog in along with the words. And as they get really clever, the dogs will just do it on hand signals. That's that. However, you've then got the dog that refuses to do any of those. I've just come back from seeing a colossal great puppy just now that won't come in when it's called. And because it likes the garden, it's a hot dog, it's cool in the garden, it doesn't want to come into the heated atmosphere.
Yeah.
And also, it's more exciting in the garden. Coming indoors might mean you're going to be put in a crate, something else is happening. Anyway. What we did very successfully, we got a metal food bowl and we got a couple of it's the dog's biscuits. It's currently on kibble, so that was fine. Something heavy in the bowl, and literally stand there with the bowl and flick it up and down, making a noise with just the four bits.
Shake the bowl,
the bottom of the bowl.
In other words,
So you make quite a dramatic noise that can echo out into the garden. And then as you say it, say the dog's name and in. Now, to start with, the dog's no idea what's happening. However, it's heard its name, And it's much more likely to come in out of pure curiosity than anything else.
It's also heard the noise of the food bowl, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's your pattern. And then when the dogs come in, you can say, good dog, shut the door. Now, at that point, it's entirely up to you whether you just praise the dog and leave it, or what we did just now, we took one of the little bits of food out, put it on the floor, got the dog not to touch it, so it left it for a few minutes, and then we praised it and released it, letting it have it. And that worked really well. And we did that half a dozen times, and every time we said dog's name in, it came in. So it worked really well.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's brilliant. It is about repetition, isn't it, with them? And puppy is now coming in. I mean, the big problem, of course, with recall, and I know from experience myself, you get a new dog, and you take them out on a lead, and they're loving it. They're reasonably well behaved, and all the rest of it, and they're puppies, and that they want to run. And, of course, how do you get the power of recall without actually letting your dog off? This is a good way of doing or going partially towards that. We work this out, and I believe this is one of the things that we're going to be coming to at some point. But it's the start of that recall, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, the dog, every time the dog walks towards you, say the dog's name and come. But
okay.
Yeah, that garden is great. But it's not as exciting as Christmas, Tony,
which we we're heading to that right now. And as I said earlier, I'm not particularly sure that dogs actually know that it's Christmas or worry too much that it's Christmas. All they know is that the food is a little different. I mean, I remember one of our dogs years ago actually managed to extract from the bin some parts of the turkey and managed to eat them. And he looked like he'd got a rather rounded stomach. So eating things at Christmas, there are much more interesting things for dogs to eat at Christmas. So to them, that's the goal, not necessarily that nicely wrapped up Christmas present you spent an inordinate sum of money on.
No, and it is that thing. There's different smells. And I think also Christmas seems to be about perpetual eating. So the dog just mucks in with that. And do be careful with your dogs, because they're watching you the whole time. And if you've got a turkey and you've got rid of bones and you've just put it in your swing bin and you've got a Labrador or a dog that is able to stand up on its back legs and shove its head in the swing bin, just be careful. Just think dog, whatever you do, but also use, if you've got a crate for your dog, use that as a safety thing, because if the dog's out the equation in high energy situations, so for instance, if you're cooking a lot, you've got people round, you know, it's just safe. It's not excluding the dog, the puppy rather, if you've got a puppy, but it is about safety. And you can, you know, the dog can then come out and enjoy the Christmas that you're enjoying.
I have to say, though, that with this, when you said about the swing bin, I have to tell you, this was the redoubtable Dexter, and it wasn't in a swing bin. This was the grey wheelie bin that was in the garden.
Oh.
He dragged it halfway around the garden and ate the contents pretty much of this turkey. Only Dexter could do that. But, just be aware, if your dog does get up on their back legs, this is something you need to keep an eye on.
Yes,
be careful what you do. I unwrapped it from the foil as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You need a good dog trainer, Tony.
Yeah. And, I don't know where I'm going to find one of those, Wendy. I have no idea, but I'm sure I'll get one for Christmas.
hopefully.
Right. Feeding. There are things, of course, as you've mentioned, there are lots and lots of things that you... you know, it's so tempting because the dog looks at you with those eyes because it's food, not because it's Christmas, but because it's food. It says, I want some of that. And, of course, lots of this stuff you can't actually give or you shouldn't give to a dog. Chocolate being one of the things, of course.
Yes, and also, you know, mince pies. Who doesn't like a mince pie?
Oh.
But, yes, the... just be careful, because as I say, they're watching you. And if you've got friends around, if you've there's young people in the house, they're lower down, and they're very quick to sort of respond to those big brown eyes and that the drooling face. And they might, you know, if you've got people around, they might have their own dog that they're not as strongly disciplined with, and they think, well, they give their dog a bit to eat. What does it matter? Well, it does matter. Dogs have allergies now as well, but also, you know, no raisins, no chocolate, none of these things. And also, remember where, you know, you're putting the packet. Everything seems to, it gets quite rushy sometimes at Christmas. So things get missed out. You know, doors aren't shut properly. Gates aren't shut properly. So just take your time to think about the security of the dog. But also spend some time actually giving the dog a bit of fun. So last year we just got our new little rescue dog, Peggy. We'd only had her a couple of weeks. And so we spent a great deal of time wrapping up things in newspaper for the four dogs. And the odd
little bit. Is it the parcel for dogs, was it?
pretty much. Wonderful. In fact, it was probably the most sort of Christmassy that I would get. And that was great. And we just sort of put them around the lounge and get them to find them. And then they had to tear off the wrapping paper, which was obviously newspaper, and find what was inside. Well, it could have been a squeaky toy. That wasn't really interesting for them. But the ones that had little bits of we used sort of vegetable chews and stuff like that, and little bits of liver cake, a high scented item, they were loving that. So you know, there's lots you can do. Now, the downside of wrapping things up for dogs is, if you do that, and then obviously you've got things wrapped up for grandma and granddad and everybody else, how does the dog know the difference between the cashmere jumper that you spent a fortune on and the bit that's one of its toys?
Well, they don't, quite simply. No.
So make sure the door is shut to the Christmas area where the toys and the, well, not the toys, where the parcels are, because that's a known one. And also weeing up the Christmas tree.
No, we don't do that, do we?
No, don't do that. And
I think there's a song about that. It's called Yellow Snow.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
So, you know, there's lots of things that it can go wrong. And any Christmas decorations, quite often they've got lots of glittery things on, or they could be glassy things. Dogs, anything that's got our scent on it already, if you think about it, we pick things up, we put them. The dogs have gone to sniff what it is. They smell our scent, and then the next thing is they've got their little mouths wrapped around it. So just be careful. We had one of our dogs years ago, we had a little Christmas mouse, and that dog would find wherever we put that Christmas mouse on the Christmas tree, she'd find it. And it was tiny, and she'd get it out with her big long snout and she'd come trotting into the kitchen. Look, I've got the Christmas mouse. So you know, it's fun, but it is also...
Yeah, it's the baubles. There is a message to that. I mean, we have this little problem with Archie. We've got a tree in one of our rooms, and he actually pays very special attention to the baubles. And you have to sort of keep shooing him away and telling him this is not right. And eventually, he will get the message. Nuka, of course, just ignores the whole thing and, well, just keeps on looking for food. But I was just picturing there in my head Christmas in the Wendy household with the dogs. Most people play charades, but you seem to play pass the parcel doggy style. Which...
I think it does look like
it. She's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Finally, before we... go about our ways this morning. Christmas presents for dogs. I know lots of people spend a lot of money on their dogs and they buy them all sorts of coats. Now, I know that some dogs need to be protected from the cold because their actual coats are not sort of warm enough. And, of course, when it rains as well. But quite a lot of dogs have got double coats. And yeah, I'm not quite sure that we should be dressing them up.
Well, again, the coat thing is a tricky thing. I mean, it's some people are very anti, some are pro. from my point of view, I would say, depending on the dog, our dogs have coats because they've got very thin fur, the Lurchers and the Yorkshires, and they're elderly. And on Saturday, my Lurcher was literally shivering and her teeth were chattering because it was a bitter, bitter day. Yeah. She actually had a coat on at that point. So then we had to put another coat on top of the coat. And then I took my scarf off and wrapped that round her neck.
You're spoiling that dog. You're spoiling that dog. They're actually a lot hardier than we think they are, though, for the most part. I know as they get older, there is a reason to protect and look after your dogs, but the younger ones run around so much, their circulation's good, and they're actually, as I say, much hardier than we give them credit for. And as you've already alluded to, they like to spend a bit of time in the garden, and apart from the rain, they don't care if it's cold.
No, and I think you've just got to know your dog. If you've got a young pup, don't let it get too cold and too wet. So the time is, if they're running, you're lead walking it, maybe. But think about the coats you're going to buy. There's an awful lot of proper dog coats out there on the market. There are lots of the gun dog people have them, and we have them. We use one called Equifleece, which is a fleecy thing.
Yeah.
And it's waterproof, it's windproof, it's great. It's not a fashion item, it works. But I think I would be against dressing them up. I mean, all this Christmas jumper thing, it drives me mad. absolutely. Sometimes it makes you smile, but I don't see the point. But
no.
If you're wearing it from a point of view of keeping the dog warm, keeping the dog dry, if you're road walking or whatever. But the other thing is, coming in from a walk, you really need to dry them off well and rub them down. And again, some dogs, if they've got quite wet, if there are these types of coats that are absorbent, you can pop them on the dog as they travel back in the car, and they're taking the moisture out without making your car all rotten with the smell of dog and water. They work really well, but it's like anything. Be sensible and see what your dog needs. But there are some dogs. Today we just must have looked quite comical, because I'd got two of the Yorkshires out with they've got a coat with four legs, and so they just look like little funny little things trotting along. People smile as though they look cute, like. We've done it just for a fashion accessory.
Well, this is the extension, isn't it? This is the extension of the owner, really, and the owner's taste. But it's one of those things that I'm guessing that it's going to continue, whether purists actually think it right or not. But
I think
just needs a bit of sense about it.
Yeah, like anything. And where it does go wrong in our household is I'm wearing the same colour as one of the dogs. and the comments on that, I've got a blue jumper and I look round and the dog's got a blue jumper on too. And you think, oh, here we go.
Matching, here we go. Yes, the Howard and Hilda of dogs. Apologies to anybody called Howard and Hilda. Wendy, we've just about run out of time, I'm afraid. Here we are, just under 3 weeks to Christmas.
I know.
You've got a whole series of dogs there. I've got a couple here, and I know many people have got sort of more than one dog. Enjoy Christmas in whichever way they can. That's what we wish for you. Wendy, thank you for talking to us today and for this year. We'll catch up again in the new year about, we'll extend our puppy training and get that recall right and sorted. But for now, Wendy, happy Christmas and talk soon.
Thank you, Tony.